Hello and welcome to this week's version of Storage Media Group Radio. I'm in studio with John Hilliard, one of our group contributors. He's going to take you around the top headlines across all of our sites this week. But before all that, I'll talk this week like I do every week with Dave Raffo, our senior news editor. Dave, you out there?
I am here.
Thanks so much for dialing in. So I want to talk about cloud storage with you this week, Dave, because I thought two of the most interesting stories were about cloud storage prices, what users can expect to see, and also about EMC jumping in the game. So first, in the last month, Amazon, Google, and Microsoft have all been in a race to the bottom. They're dropping their prices per gig, and users are having to assess how to price their cloud storage. One thing they're finding out is that the transaction costs can be more important than the per gig cost. So what should you know headed out to buy cloud storage, Dave?
Well, yeah, it looks like the main cloud providers are keeping their cost per gig in the same ballpark. You know, none of them really want to get beat on price here, but you have to know which type of applications and which type of transactions you're going to be using, because there are some differences on transaction costs.
So, and by the way, if you're listening, you can read this story by Rachel Kosman on Search Cloud Storage. Cloud storage prices drop, but users say hidden fees do exist. And she talked with a guy from Medplast, their IT director there, who said he saw a $300 bill in a single month for his Amazon transactions because one of the transactions for put and copy and post and all those, one of them that he was doing quite a bit of, cost him a lot of money. He left Amazon for Microsoft's Azure product. How common do you think that will be, Dave? Is this a real problem for the big vendors, people shopping and swapping?
I don't know if it's a big problem for the vendors. I think it could be a big problem to switch over. It's not always easy to switch. So I think the big thing is for customers to check this out before they sign up. Now, these costs aren't really hidden. They are part of the price sheets that the vendors have out. But they're different than just the bulk per gigabyte. You also have to look at the put, copy, list, get transactions and see how they are priced as well, because there are some differences there.
So what's the takeaway? Is the most important piece is to know which sort of application and transactions you'll be running in the cloud?
Yeah, I think most people do know that up front, so you have to look and match that up with the transactions that the transaction prices that the cloud providers are charging.
Okay.
The Medplast, they ended up paying more than $300 in 1 month for the transactions, which I believe he said was more than their bulk storage cost.
Right, and then he cut that. He says by to 1/10 or so, and according to Amazon's website, March was the 19th time it has lowered the price of cloud subscriptions. Dave, is it ever going to be free?
No. You don't make money selling something for free, but I think once it hits critical mass, once they get enough people signing up, it'll probably go up. But it tells you right now they're still looking to get people to sign up for their site, and they will willing to drop prices to do that.
All right, thanks very much. I want to talk to you about EMC before I let you go. EMC wants to build your cloud and not just your storage cloud. So this week, the vendor officially launched a series of cloud building services. Dave, you wrote all about it. Tell me, how is this different from the services that they've offered before through either their acquisitions or their consulting side?
They're not that much different. I think the big thing is they want to, they're getting more public about it. They want to make sure people know, because I think in a lot of these types of services that they're offering, you don't think of EMC, because these are not just storage services. But I think they are looking at where the cloud is right now, and they're probably finding more people looking to take that leap, and they're kind of raising their hand saying we can do this for you, and it doesn't only have to be on the storage side, I mean, some of their services are around, you know, desktop computing, end user computing, which you certainly don't think of EMC when you talk about that. So, you know, a lot of it would fit more with VMware. So VMware, which EMC owns most of, they don't really do a lot of services, so they will, you know, try to steer people over to EMC.
Well, you talked with this Canadian publisher. He's at, is it Post Media Network? That's a big newspaper publisher. They lost power in their data center and said that the cloud setup sort of saved them. What have they been using EMC all along, and will this change things for them? How were they as a customer reference?
Well, they switched over from HP servers and storage. They went to EMC and for storage and Cisco for one of their projects. But before they did that, they consolidated their data center, did a lot of virtual machines from VMware, and they were able to use VMware's Site Recovery Manager for what you talked about when they shifted their workload when the server went down. So, you know, again, it's a case of, you know, people looking at the entire infrastructure picture and not just storage. So, you know, storage obviously is playing a role in this, but, you know, we're starting to see, I don't know, we're starting to see, and it's probably something that's been going on, but I think it's something that people have to consider that, you know, the cloud infrastructure, it could be all of one one piece, you know, your storage and your compute and networking, you know, aren't necessarily separate clouds.
The Post Media client you spoke with said his storage utilization had improved performance something like 1,300%. Is he saying that's because he built a cloud?
Well, that was, I think that was the whole convergence thing to go, you know, he did a lot of virtual machines, he switched servers, he switched storage, and, you know, I think that, that all played a role. It wasn't just swapping out one piece. So, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, if you consider all of that together, the cloud, that certainly helped.
He's got a pretty compelling quote that the virtual private cloud architecture gives him the ability to add capacity when he needs to and move workloads and sacrifice an internal server, push a physical server out, et cetera. It's a very interesting angle to the news, and we appreciate it, Dave. And we'll keep track of all that's going on in cloud and cloud storage with you as it comes up. Thanks so much.
All right. Great to talk to you again.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye. John, I'm going to kick it off to you for this week's headline wrap.
Thanks a lot, Ellen. First up, we have Quantum, which is unveiling its virtual backup appliance this week based on DXi and VMpro. This is their new DXi V1000. It's a virtual backup appliance that the vendor said can substantially reduce the size of data sets moved to the cloud. Now, the DXi V1000 is you know, it's based on the DXi and VMpro appliances. It uses DXi data dedupe software and works with Quantum's VMpro virtual machine backup. The VMpro software is already integrated with VMware vCenter software, and the virtual appliances reside on a VMware hypervisor. Quantum says that the new DXi V1000 will be available next month for $2,250 per terabyte. Now, this virtual appliance platform is a key part of Quantum's cloud strategy. Quantum's first partner for the cloud service is the Xerox-owned affiliated computer services, which is already using the Quantum platform for backup and DR services. And next up, who are the kings of storage in Europe? Well, our colleagues at the UK Data Storage Buzz blog have a theory. They're reporting on a new Gartner study that outlines some of the top vendors in the storage industry. And those top five shouldn't surprise anybody. On the number one slot is EMC. They have about 32% market share, according to Gartner. Second place is IBM with 14.2%. Third, NetApp, 11.5%. HP is at 9.8%. And then rounding out the top five is HDS with 9.4% market share. Now, the folks at the blog have their own data collected from their internal purchasing intention survey, This is a study based on a poll of 302 European storage professionals about their storage purchasing habits. Now, that study puts HP at the top spot, drops HDS completely, and we see Dell make an appearance. The results of that study, the top five from that study, include HP, they're at 33%, IBM's at 24%. They're tied with second place, actually, with EMC, also at 24%. Dell comes in at 19%, and then NetApp rounds out the top five at 18%. For folks who want to opine about why that is, the blog invites you to make a comment. Just check out our website at searchstorage.com to find a link. And rounding out this week's news, Ignite is launching their file sharing in the cloud product for the enterprise. Now, this is their new product. It's slightly awkwardly named. It's the Ignite Hybrid Cloud File Sharing for the Enterprise. It's designed to allow customers to scale up to 1 billion files per account, according to the company, and up to 10,000 concurrent users can use it without affecting network performance. Now, Terry McClure, a senior analyst at Enterprise Strategy Group in Milford, Massachusetts, tells us that this is a rather big deal. This puts Ignite in another stratosphere, quote, of competition as far as the accounts they can support, and that supporting 10,000 users is going to be more than enough for the enterprise, end quote. The enterprise cloud sharing offering is built on the Ignite Object Store product, which provides scalability required to take Ignite from a small and medium-sized business vendor to the enterprise. And Ignite's CEO and co-founder, Vineet Jain, said he's looking to push online file sharing deeper into Fortune 10,000 companies. Ignite's aim is to get customers to eliminate their file sharing servers and the need for virtual private networks so employees can access and collaborate on the files that are stored in the cloud.
Thanks, John. We started with the cloud and we close with the cloud. I'm sure we'll be talking more about it in weeks to come.
You're welcome, Ellen. And obviously, for more information about any of the stories in this week's podcast, please check out our website at searchstorage.com for links and the latest news. Thanks a lot for listening.